I guess I like a little more complex foods. But you know, the Lord looked down on us tonight and or this morning, and I was feeling the same way that Brother Michael expressed. That the Lord was just looking down this morning and hearing those songs and seeing that devotion. And I believe God is honored and glorified by that kind of worship. I have some good news this morning. We have been inundated with bad news. And we are living in a world that is full of darkness. Sin is abounding on every hand. But I want to talk about something this morning. The Lord put a burden on my heart before I came for this meeting. I want to just write it on the board here. Not of this world. I'd like to speak about something that's not of this world this morning. If you will turn with me to the book of John and have a number of scriptures that would like to bring out this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. In the 18th chapter of John, begin reading with the 33rd verse. Jesus had been brought to before Pilate to stand trial. Pilate entered the judgment hall and called Jesus. And he asked Jesus a question. He said, "Art thou the king of the Jews? Are you the king?" And Jesus said, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me?" In other words, you asked me this question, "Are you a king?" Now, have you observed this yourself, or are you just asking based on what you've heard? Pilate answered and said, "Am I a Jew? Of course, this is what I've been hearing. I'm not a Jew." He said, "Your own countrymen, thine own nation, and the chief priests had delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" In other words, I really don't know what's going on. And I don't really understand. I'm not a Jew. I haven't been involved with this. Your own countrymen brought you to me. So you tell me, what have you done? And Jesus answered and he said, My kingdom is not of this world." Saints of God, right there is cause to rejoice this morning. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. There would be conflict. There would be trouble. There would be difficulty. There would be grief and there would be mourning, but he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Then should I not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? In other words, I'm coming back to my first question. Are you a king? And Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Now folks, Jesus was clarifying, if you will, to Pilate, what his purpose was. And I want to encourage us in the Lord this morning not to lose sight of what this is all about. Amen. Not to lose sight of our purpose this morning. Not to lose sight of why Jesus came. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus, who are you? Are you a king? And the answer in essence was, yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. You know, I can't help but think of the prophecy in Daniel in the second chapter. In the 44th verse, and keep in mind that the Roman Empire was the one that was in authority at this time. It was a world domination, world power, the Romans were at this time. The prophecy in Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar had saw the vision of the image, when that great stone came, remember, it knocked that image down. The prophecy was in the 44th verse, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Folks, the enemy has done and is going to continue to do everything that he can to destroy the kingdom of God. But the good news is this morning that the kingdom is never going to be destroyed. The Supreme Court can pass all of the, support all of the laws or not thereof that they want. The Congress can pass all the laws. The President can choose to enforce them or not. The Supreme Court can come out with all their declarations, but folks, the kingdom of God is not of this world. And in spite of what is happening in the world, we are called to a higher calling. We are citizens of a kingdom this morning that is not of this world. And I think about the three Hebrew children when they refused to bow down to the great image that the king had set up. And they were called on the carpet for it. We're going to give you another chance. We're going to give you another opportunity to bow down and submit yourself to the law. You remember what their response was? We're not careful. In other words, I don't have to even go pray about it. I don't have to think about it. I've already prayed. It's already been settled. I am not careful to answer thee in this matter. I have a response to the devil this morning. I am not careful to answer thee in this matter. That we are part of a kingdom this morning. That the world did not give to us, and the world cannot take it away. Amen? So when your faith is called into question, remember, you are a citizen of another kingdom. The kingdom of God is not of this world this morning. Remember over in the 17th chapter of Luke. Well, let's just read. Luke in the 17th chapter in the 20th verse. They came and they were inquiring about Jesus, about this kingdom. Because see, at this time many had expected Jesus to rebel against the Roman Empire. Folks, Jesus did not call for us. He did not call us to civil rebellion. He did not call us to resist the oppressor of this kingdom. But He came to bring to us a greater kingdom. And any time that the laws of our land, the laws of this earthly kingdom, are in conflict with the kingdom of God, which will we choose? Not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're citizens of a heavenly country. We're part of the kingdom of God. And so they came inquiring. I want to know what this kingdom is. Luke 17, verse 20. He said, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, does this not still sound familiar today? When is the kingdom of God going to come? And you know, you can go to the Bible bookstore, and I don't advise you to do it. And you can get all kinds of books that will tell you all kinds of things about when the kingdom of God is going to come. Some will say it's going to come, there's going to be a great tribulation. And you can find a post-tribulation, a pre-tribulation. You can find all kinds. It's a mess out there. But in any understanding of any prophecy that you study, whether it be Daniel or Isaiah or Revelation, always come back to the simplicity of what Christ taught and use that as a foundation to understand other prophecy. Now, Jesus said something that I don't think left much to the imagination. In the 17th chapter of Luke, and we continue reading, they demanded, when should the kingdom of God come? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? With observation. And he went on to explain himself, lest there be any question. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there is the kingdom. But is not that what people are doing? Behold, the kingdom of God is... Now help me out. The kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It was clear. It's in... Well, in my Bible, it's in red and white. We talk about things being in black and white. Folks, this is a clear doctrinal point of the Word of God. The kingdom of God is not of this world. But the reality of the kingdom is no less real than this laws that are set up in this nation. It is just as real, but the kingdom of God is something that is inside of you. It's within you. And I am thankful this morning that we can be citizens of that kingdom today. There are those that are looking for a day to come where there will be peace on earth. But do you recognize in the kingdom of God this morning, there is peace? In the kingdom, we've traded our spears and our swords for plowshares. In other words, now we're out seeing about bringing forth fruit. We've hung up our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not what? They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It is not a call to rebellion. It is not a call to stand up and be obnoxious about our faith this morning. But we are citizens of another kingdom. And I am thankful to be part of that kingdom this morning. It's within you. In the kingdom of God, over in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, so what is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. There are people from other countries that would like to come to this country. There are those that are waiting. There are long lines of people physical long lines of people today that are waiting to fill out paperwork to try to get into the United States. You know, this morning, there is a place that you don't have to physically get up and move. There's a place that you can have hope this morning. When we look around in the world of darkness, there is still light. There is still a place that you can be at peace in your spirit. And I know that all of us, and it's been mentioned in this meeting, we grieve because of sin around us. And well, we should carry a burden. When we have loved ones that give themselves to this world, it brings heartache. And it brings heaviness of spirit. But at the same time, let us not allow this morning the enemy to steal the joy and praise and worship from us as God's people because we're citizens of another kingdom. And I thank God this morning that we can be at peace right in a time of trouble. There is a place this morning in the kingdom of God that we can live righteously when and where? In this present. In this present evil world, the Lord knew the world was going to get in this condition. And as time goes on, it's going to get worse. But do you know what Jesus told us about the kingdom? About the church? Remember Peter, he asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say, well, John the Baptist, and some Elias. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" He put it back on them. Who do we say the Lord is this morning? And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, God is not dead. The Lord is not dead this morning. The Spirit of God is still working and moving where He can work. And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father." And He went on to say, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," or upon the truth, "that I am the Son of the living God." Upon that truth, He said, "I will build my" what? "I'll build my church." Folks, that's what the foundation of the church still is today, 2,000 years later. It's on the fact that there is the Son of the living God that came and has set up a kingdom. And the world cannot destroy it. They can't take it away. The world did not give me my peace this morning, and the world can't take it away. Amen? So when you feel pressed in and it feels that temptation to start to get down with it, look up. Look up, because I'm part of a heavenly country this morning. Well, upon this rock will I build my church. And He didn't stop there. He said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The enemy is opening up the gates of hell. And saints, and Brother James preached on it the other night. But we're just getting a glimpse of what's to come. Hold on. Hold on. We're just getting a glimpse of what is to come. But the Scripture said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. The kingdom of God will not be destroyed. It is still lasting. The Lord brought to me as He was giving me this message. Been meditating on it for a number of days. I thought about how the president stands up and he gives the State of the Union. He tells what the condition is of the country. And you know, the president's State of the Union, if he gave it today, would be a little different probably than ours if we gave the State of the Union. I think we'd be coming from a lot different perspective. But I would like us to consider the state of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the storehouses are still full of grace. In the kingdom of God, there's still power to live a righteous life. And when we look around and see the addictions of sin and it seems hopeless, there is still a God in heaven that when someone will cry out to Him, He'll come and break the bondage of sin. To those that are oppressed by the enemy, there's still deliverance in Jesus Christ this morning. Oh, thank God for the kingdom of God. That's the state of the kingdom. The state of the kingdom is that there is still ability to live a holy life with all of the peer pressure that's around us. There is still peace. And now that last part, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Y'all know what that is? Do you recognize that there's still a place as God's people that we can have the joy of the Lord bubbling up from inside? It's not because of what's happening around us, but it's because I'm in the kingdom of God. It's because the Lord has come into my life and transformed my identity that now I have joy, whereas before I had sorrow and grief and sin. No hope, nothing to look forward to. You know, this morning our hope is bright. Amen? Our hope is bright this morning. Now, we were instructed yesterday morning, it's all right to let the person next to you know you're in agreement. I don't know how many went home and practiced those amens, but it's all right. We have something to have hope for this morning. We have something to anticipate. We have something to look forward to because the Lord has been good. Not of this world. Thank the Lord for that. When you're traveling, and I know whether it's in the United States or if you travel internationally, a question that is often asked is, where are you from? Where are you from this morning? In other words, when you find out where someone is from, you kind of know some of maybe the laws and the type of government that they have. You kind of know some of the social backgrounds that people have and some of the ideologies from that country. My question is, where are you from this morning? Where are you getting your identity from? Do you know there are some people that have, they call dual citizenship. Dual citizenship, I'm a Canadian citizen and I'm an American citizen. I have dual citizenship. There are a lot of people dual citizenship. But saints, I want to remind us of something this morning. We are either a citizen of the kingdom of God or we're not. There's no such thing as dual citizenship, and the enemy is trying to cause people to think that there is. You can be part of the kingdom of God, and yet you can live after the things of this world. But Jesus came to teach us something different, didn't He? He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Exclusively. So when someone comes and I pull out my passport, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just pull out the passport and said, I'm part of the kingdom of God. That's where I'm from. How did I get there? Except a man be born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom of God. We come into the kingdom of God through a spiritual birth. It's wonderful that we have this chapel to come to. It's wonderful that this meeting has been here for many years. But if you want to get into that kingdom of God, it's going to take a spiritual birth. It's going to take a transformation that now my identity is changed. I used to be a citizen of that country. But now I'm a citizen of the household of God. Would you read with me in Ephesians in the second chapter? Ephesians chapter 2 in the 17th verse. He came and He preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers Have you ever been a stranger somewhere? Have you ever been somewhere and you were kind of the odd man out? You look different and everybody could tell that you're not one of us. You know, people feel like that with God's people sometimes. And sometimes I know God's people get accused of saying, well, they weren't, and Lord help us to be we ought to be the friendliest, most welcoming people on the face of the earth. We welcome everybody to come into this chapel. Come like you are. We're just glad you're here. That's the Spirit of Christ. The one that ministered to the sinner women. And the Pharisees sat back and said, if he knew what manner of woman that was, he wouldn't have done that. Oh no, God's people in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of love this morning. It's a kingdom of welcoming. But do you recognize when there has not been a spiritual birth, you're going to feel different. You're going to feel a little bit on the outside, and it's not everybody else's fault. I just need to come into the kingdom. I need to allow the Lord to come in and transform my life, and you can be one with Christ. He said, now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens. Aren't you thankful for fellow citizens? Someone with we came from the same place. So maybe you're from Louisiana or Oklahoma or Alabama or wherever you're from. You know, I've lived in Missouri over 8 years now, but I'm still an Oregonian. Do you know I might live in this world? We may live in this world, but do you know what? I'm in the kingdom of God. And I may sometimes feel like a little bit of a foreigner in this world. And I do. And we ought to, because we're in the kingdom of God now. That's where our home is. That's where our citizenship is. And when you meet someone with a like spirit that's been born into the kingdom of God, is not there a fellowship and camaraderie? But now you're no more ostracized, you're no more outside, but He said, you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a wonderful place to be a citizen of. The kingdom of God. Devil doesn't like it. You know, I thought about how there's talk, and I know that there have been walls built around the U.S. in some areas. And not to get into the political aspects of that. But you know, walls are meant to keep out. Many times. But walls are also meant to protect what's inside the walls. Do you know this morning that there are walls in this kingdom? The prophet said, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. There are walls this morning around the kingdom of God, and it's called salvation. And it is a protection to us. The citizens of the kingdom of God, salvation is a protection for us. Because we live where the enemy is trying to come in and steal what we have. The enemy would like to come in and rob us of the righteousness of God in our lives. The enemy would like to come in and rob us of our joy and of our praise and of our worship. And so God appointed salvation. There's no climbing over the walls to get into the kingdom of God. There are those that try to come in and just shake the preacher's hand and welcome to the kingdom of God. Shaking the preacher's hand isn't going to do anything for you. Going down and say, well, we'll baptize you this and we'll baptize you that. You go under the water a sinner, you're going to come up a sinner. But there is a door to the kingdom of God. Jesus said no one can come in any other way. He said, I am the door, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Folks, Jesus is the door to the kingdom. It's not getting our name on a church book. It's not being within four walls. But Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God. And when you go through Christ, you're going to have to renounce your citizenship of all these other things. I renounce my allegiance. I announce my allegiance that I had to this world, and Lord, I give you my devotion. But do you realize when you find what the kingdom of God has to offer, you can do that with joy? It's like, well, I guess I'll have to give up my Canadian citizenship or my Mexican citizenship. You know, I'm willing to give up my U.S. citizenship if that's what it took. But I'm willing to give up anything because there is a kingdom this morning that rises above what this world has to offer. Good news, isn't it? We ought to go out with joy this morning and know, Lord, thank You. And when we hear the news and it starts to kind of push us down a little bit, and I know it does sometimes, but folks, we are part of something bigger. We are part of something divine this morning in the kingdom of God. There's a song that says, I lost my past when I came into His presence. I am so thankful this morning that I was a foreigner. But when I came into the presence of God, He opened up His arms and just brought us in to the kingdom. And now we're fellow citizenship. And that's what gives us fellowship here this morning. It's not because we're all have the same personalities. It's not because all of our interests, you know, you may like to fish and someone else may not do. That's not what this is about. But there are no, I've heard people say, with God's people, we just don't have a lot in common. We just don't have a lot in common. I thought, there should be nothing more in common than a common love for God. So maybe we all don't work on cars, Brother Danny, or maybe we don't all like this or do that, but do you know we have more in common in the Lord than we have in common to the things of this world? If we're a citizen of the kingdom of God, this rises way above all of the common interests of earthly things. And so I'm happy to be in fellowship with you this morning because we have a common goal, a common purpose. We're fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. When I have something I like to do and I have to be careful that I don't insult people, and I'll tell you what it is. In traveling in Africa, I begin to learn what countries people are from by just looking at them. And I miss it sometimes. But even in the United States, sometimes I'll see someone, I'll think, okay, they're not from here. All right, I think they're from North Africa, or they look like they're from Nigeria, or and I'll strike up conversations, try to find out, well, are you from here? And a lot of times their face lights up. How do I know that? Because they look different. And do you know that all the different tribes in Africa, they can do it a lot better than I can. But they look different. Different tribes, they have different characteristics. Their structure is different. And you can identify them by the way they look. Even in Ghana, I can see someone say, oh, they're from the north of Ghana. Say, hey, are they from the north? Yep, they're from the north. How did I know that? Well, because a lot of times they were unclean. They didn't take baths. In the north, they're just a little dirtier people. And so the ones from the south, they get a little bit, you know, they think they're a little bit better. But you can start to recognize where they're from. Do you realize this morning that there ought to be some there are characteristics of people that are living in the kingdom of God? Brother Ed mentioned it last night. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if what? If you have love one to another, what greater identity is there of people that are in the kingdom of God than a common love for each other? A love that rises above our personality differences. A love that rises above when there's, yes, and there's going to be some issues sometimes, but a love that rises above and reaches out because the love of God is within us. Folks, that's an identifying characteristic of God's people. And as the world gets darker, what ought to happen to the light? It gets brighter, doesn't it? And do you realize the enemy would like to cause us as a people to put that bushel over our light? But as the world gets worse, we ought to just shine brighter and brighter without compromise, without being fanatic, that we would keep on obeying the laws of God with the love of God in our heart, that we're a beacon of hope to a lost world. The kingdom of God is not of this world. I was in Ghana one time. I was on a bus and I was a foreigner. I was the only person from the U.S. and didn't take a rocket scientist for everybody else on the bus to know that I didn't belong there. And I remember they had the radio on in the news. The news came on. They said the U.S. Embassy in Ghana has been shut down because of terrorist stuff going on. And I'm in Ghana. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I don't know what all is going on. Haven't been in touch with the news, but there are some of those places that can be pretty volatile. And the embassy was shut down. If I got in trouble, there would be nobody in the country that I could go to help me out. Do you realize in the kingdom of God this morning that God has not shut down the embassy? We have a mediator this morning, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He has not shut things down, folks. Sometimes the devil would like to cause us to feel as if, and I know intellectually we know it, but he would like to cause us to feel as if that things just aren't getting through to heaven. Things are so bad around here. I looked at the news and we have this family problem over here and there's this issue over here. And where is God, folks? We have a mediator this morning. There is one in the kingdom of God that we can turn to day or night, and His ears are open to your prayers this morning. Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Lo, I am with you always." Even to what? Are we to the end of the world yet? No, you know what that means? He's still with us. Thank God. Bring it on, devil. Because we're part of another country. We're part of a heavenly country that I don't have to face the darkness by myself. If I had to face it by myself, I'd be overwhelmed. But there is a Savior. There is one that loves and cares, and He's going to walk with us until the Lord says, "It's enough." He's going to be there. Thank God for that. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have cause to rejoice. We're not, before we turn there, we don't have time to read all the Scripture. But you know the children of Israel when they were in Babylon? Do you remember we read about it in Psalms 137? The Babylonians came to the children of Israel and they said, "Sing us a song. Sing us a song. We want to hear your songs of your land." You remember their response? What was it? How can we sing? We're in a strange land. And it said that they hung their harps up on the tree. And they wept. How can we sing a song? We're just in a strange land. You know, the devil would like us to do that this morning. We can say, "Oh, I wish we had the glory of the former days." Folks, God has a fresh glory for His people today. He has a fresh anointing. And anybody that says, "Well, the church just isn't what it used to be," all I can say is, maybe you're not what you ought to be, but don't put that on the rest of us. You come into the kingdom of God and let the Spirit move in you, and you will find fresh anointing and fresh glory, and you will find something invigorating that's alive and welling up within your spirit. And that does not go, goes way beyond emotion. It goes way beyond the circumstances of this life. It comes because my kingdom is not of this world. Amen? So there's something, there's still glory today. So are we going to hang our harps up? Are we going to allow the enemy to steal from us the worship in spirit and the truth? The joy of the Lord shall be your strength, the Scripture says. So where is the devil attacking us? He wants to get our strength from us. So he can steal our worship and our praise. He's got something. Lord, help us. I don't want to hang my harp up. And yes, the world is dark, but what country are we citizens of? We're citizens of another country. So let's turn. 1 Peter chapter 2 and read. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 9. Thank the Lord for the kingdom of God this morning. He said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." You are a chosen generation. Folks, this is the generation that God has entrusted us with the gospel. This is our dispensation. I remember as a child, sometimes I thought, well, I wish I would have been born in this generation, a different generation. But you know, the Lord let me know, no, this is your generation. This is your dispensation. The Lord has entrusted us this morning with something. He's entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted us with the truth. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to hang our harps up? Are we going to put it under a bushel? Or we say, by the grace of God, I'm a part of a heavenly country. And I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to be obnoxious with this truth. But Lord, I'm not going to give in. And I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to be fanatic. But Lord, I'm going to follow You steadily, faithfully, consistently, regardless of what happens around about us. Because we're called to a higher calling. We're operating under some different laws now, folks. We're living under the laws of holiness, which is only found acceptable to God when it's from a volunteer people. From a free people that have chosen because of their love that, Lord, I'm going to follow You. And so He said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean strange. It doesn't mean, well, you're peculiar. If someone came up and told you after service, say, you're peculiar. You know, there'd be something about that that might almost start to feel a little insulting. That's not what He's saying. You are precious. You're chosen. You are special this morning. Why? Because you've been called out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of the living God. That's our identity. That's who we are. Lord, help us to enjoy being citizens of that kingdom this morning. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, it's a drudgery not to be walking in marvelous light. I've just got some of the light. Got some of the truth. Well then, come on! Don't stop there! Come on and walk in the marvelous light! And you will find when the enemy says it's bondage, you will find deliverance when you come all the way into the kingdom and say, Lord, whatever You want, I'm willing to do it. You want anointing, you want joy, you want victory in your life, come in and experience the fullness of the kingdom of God today. A people that has been set apart. He went on to say, dearly beloved, I beseech you. And it's an entreaty now. He says, I entreat you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You know what a pilgrim is? It's a traveler. One that has left their old home in pursuit of another. If you don't mind my asking us a question this morning, are we pilgrims? Folks, there are people that are getting too comfortable in this world. So He entreated, knowing that you've been translated, knowing you're in the kingdom of God, a heavenly kingdom, He said, I entreat you, be a stranger to this world. And He said, be a pilgrim, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You know, Abraham, the Scripture says over in the book of Hebrews, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. And it's because they sought another country. This morning I would encourage us in the love of God to remember I'm a pilgrim here. So all of our decisions, all of our choices, the things that are going to affect our life, let's make those decisions based on our heavenly citizenship. Scripture says not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Why was it? Because we're citizens of another country. We're part of the kingdom of God. Folks, the enemy is working really hard to try to get us this dual citizenship thing, to start making our decisions based upon this world rather than the life to come. And as the world gets worse and worse, do you know that there is going to be a greater difference between God's people and the world? We may look at the world and say, well, the world is way down here and we're up here. This is our standard. Standard, see? This is where we're living. But as the world gets worse, where are we going to measure from? And as the world goes down, if we keep measuring ourselves to say we're just a little bit more, have a little bit better attitude than people of the world, or a little bit more modest than the world, or a little bit more... Folks, the world is not our standard this morning. The Word of God is our standard, and it's unchanging. Which means in my decisions, Lord, help me not to be driven by the perspectives and the condition of a lost world. But help me to measure my life based on purity, because the kingdom of God is righteousness. Now, holiness, folks, is part of living for God, is it not? But do you know the reason why we abstain from fleshly lust? It's because if you give in to those fleshly things, it starts putting distance between us and God. And so the Lord's saying, I want to have communion with you. The Lord did not tell us to be different just to be different. Well, the world has dishwashers, so saints, let's all go home and get rid of our dishwashers. No, I'm thankful for a dishwasher. I'm thankful for those things. And I know they didn't have them in the time of Jesus, but thank God for it. So the Lord is not telling us this morning, young people, don't allow the enemy to make you think that we're just being different to be different. There's no righteousness in being different just to be different. But the difference comes when there are things in this world that begin to separate my communion from God, that I need to recognize that's hindering my walk with God. And I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, so I'm going to say no to that thing. Regardless of what my friends, regardless of what the preacher's children are doing, I'm going to follow the Lord because that thing is hindering me spiritually. So that's why the Scripture says, be holy, for He is holy. Because I don't want anything to separate me from God. I want to stay in that kingdom. Jesus told us over, and let's just turn and read briefly, in the 17th chapter of John. John, the 17th chapter, and the 13th verse. He said, now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus was praying. He was praying for us. And this was His prayer. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world. Folks, He's talking about His disciples. He's talking about us. Can the Lord say that about me this morning? Can He say that about you? Can say, they're not of this world. Let's be careful not to allow the world to influence us. You know, all of the hot button issues, you all know what I'm talking about. All the things that people get fanatic and people get liberal and people give in, the devil's working there, but let's remember what this is all about. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I'm not of this world, but we're in the world. You know, we dress differently in the United States than they do in Africa. But you know, there is a law of God that applies to all of us regardless of those things. The way that we live our life, the types of things that people do may be different from state to state and country to country. But the Word of God still teaches purity and holiness and godliness and simplicity. Why? Because we're part of another kingdom. We're part of another kingdom. So He prayed for us that we would abstain from the things of this world. I pray not, Lord, that Thou would take them out of the world. It's not God's design for us all to live in Saintsville. You know what I'm talking about? We can just all come in, we'll all move to the same place and have a little commune, and we'll just live it. We could all move into our cabins at Monarch or build a few more family units. And oh my, I'll tell you what. After a while, I think a lot of us will be saying, we've got to get out of here. Why? Because we were called to be a light to who? To the world. We have work to do. And you know, if we're not doing the work that God has called us to do, we're going to be an unfulfilled people. We are called to come together in meetings to recharge and to encourage one another and to learn and be inspired so that we can go out in the world and not be part, not to be of it, but to let our light shine that people could know there's something better. There's something better. Thank God for that. So Lord, help us. He said the world would hate you. You know, the warning signal. We heard about warning indicators. The warning indicator ought to be going off. It ought to be going off loud and clear if we are comfortable with the world. Oh, I just fit in. I don't feel any different. I don't look any different. I don't act any different, but I've got Jesus in my heart. Something's wrong. Because when you have Christ in your heart, you will act different. When we have the Lord in our heart, I'm not going to be doing the things the world's doing. And I'm not doing it to try to look like I'm more righteous or to look a little holier than someone else. But Lord, my communion with God is more important than the acceptance of people around about me. So Lord, help us and recognize that the world, as time goes on, there's going to be more and more persecution. There's going to be more and more opposition to God's people. But folks, let's not let it discourage us. We are part of a heavenly kingdom this morning. And our love and our attachments ought to be for the things of God. And that's the reason that John said, love not the world. Well, love not the world, neither the... Oh my, I know we're getting tight now. Or the things. Why? Get on things. Preachers, they just leave things alone. But do you recognize there's a reason he said that? Things bind us down. Things tie us down. They'll confine us. And he said, don't give your love to the world or the things in the world. Why? Because I want you to love the Father. You're part of a different kingdom. I want your decisions and your choices and your affections and your love. And what gives you purpose, I want what motivates you not to be this world, but I want it to be something from the Father. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you know, you put that list of things on the board. Y'all have heard me say it before probably, but I'd miss a few of them. Some of you would argue with me about a few of them I put up there. We're citizens of another country. Yes. Examine our love. Yeah. You don't have to have the preacher go home and... I remember hearing about someone one time that they had the preacher came home with them and went through their closet with them. And all I can say is, what a shame. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Lord does. But it takes an honesty of heart. It takes an openness that, Lord, I love you and I am part of the kingdom of God. And I don't want this world to dictate what I do, my attitudes, how I live, where I go, what I listen to, and what I watch. Lord, I want you to be pleased with it. And if it's something that is defiling, Lord, I love you, I'm going to get rid of it. And if I have to go through life maimed in this world, and everybody else does it, then Lord, I'll go dragging through life, but my spirit's going to still be rejoicing. Why? Because I'm a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. So what do we do? Seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it didn't stop there. It said, and His righteousness. Not our righteousness. Not my opinions. Not my thoughts. But He said, seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And folks, His righteousness so far surpasses ours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Folks, God is going to take care of His people. That is my hope for my children. I know the world's dark, and the world is vying hard for our young people. But the state of the kingdom, it's in good shape. The Lord's still there. There's still grace. There's still power. So Lord, help us to put it first. And I thank God that we are part of the heavenly kingdom this morning. Amen.